All right.
David, you got any mower?
Didn't bring any with.
Hey, that's okay. That's all right. I was just glancing at the seven.
Well, we'll start off in prayer. Brother Charles, you want to kick us off there?
Father, we just thank you for this time, this opportunity to come together to lift up your holy name.
Amen.
We thank you for the word that is going to come forth today. We ask that you anoint each and every speaker to speak truth, God, in this place. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we appreciate you. We ask that you direct our path throughout this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, we've been talking about the menorah there and a pattern in the scriptures, you know, how the Bible flows and all. But last week, we talked about power. You know, we went from wisdom. Wisdom brings understanding. Counsel brings power. And power, then we have knowledge. And knowledge will bring you into the fear of the Lord. And it all comes from the Spirit of the Lord. Everything comes from the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Brother Hagin, y'all get Brother Hagin's magazine or Word of Faith magazine? You know, I'll read something. This was from, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin, one of those timeless teachings. But this was an article this month. We're on knowledge now. And this is what he wrote on knowledge. He says, once when I was fasting, the Lord gave me John 8:32. Jesus said to me, people might receive temporary help and get blessed momentarily because they are honest and they are seeking me. But the only thing that will permanently bless people is to know the truth of my word. Mm-hmm. To know the truth of my word. Sounds like knowledge, doesn't
it? That's good.
The word is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And when you know God's word, the anointed word will permanently bless you by setting you free. Knowledge will bring you into here. This is where we strive to be.
Amen. Yes.
The fear of the Lord. People think, well, there's no longer need for the Lord.
That's big.
We'll talk about that next time, but that's where we want to be because Jesus operated in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. He goes on to say, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you face in life, train yourself to always ask, what does the Word say about it? Mm-hmm. In other words, put the Word first. If you don't know the word, then you're in trouble and you'll remain in bondage, for it is knowledge of the word that makes you free.
Praise God.
Knowledge, bring you in the fear of the Lord, and make you free. Okay, I following that? Okay, we talking about, you know, a pattern between Book of Revelation and Genesis. And in the fifth day, this is our fifth one. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth day. In Genesis 1:1, Lord created. If you want to go to Genesis 1. In the fifth day, he said, and God said, let the waters, say waters,
waters,
bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that flies above the earth and in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which are in the waters, brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. You know, I might have brought this out before, but nothing ever multiplied to the fifth day in creation. Multiplication happened in the fifth day of creation. So, the Bible talks about grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge
of the Lord.
Right?
Right.
You know, remember that, grace and peace multiply you through the knowledge of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Revelation. We're using Revelation, how he spoke to churches in the same pattern. But in the third chapter of Revelation, I'll say this first, we ain't going to stay this week because of time. But you ever notice how the church in chapter 2, there's four churches, and in chapter 3, there's three churches. You think, well, why didn't God just put all them churches in one chapter? It goes back to how that menorah is designed. If you read in the Old Testament how that menorah is designed, it's divided up into 4 and 3. And this menorah represents the church. Okay, now it's going to Knox. And the Lord, and unto the angel, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before thee. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know. Say, shall not know.
Shall not know.
That's lack of knowledge, ain't it? Mm-hmm. No, shall not know. What hour I will come upon thee. For thou hast a few names of Sardis, which have not been defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You know, I've read some on the history of Sardis there. You know, Lord, when he spoke to them, he says, I'll come to you like a thief in the night. Sardis had a large history of being things stolen from them. I think it was Cyrus, like 500 something years prior to that, come in and took over the city and stole like $600 million worth of, I guess in our today's, you know, from them. And plus there, this city, that there's mountains around the city, and it was noted for having a band of thieves. I can't pronounce the name of these thieves. It was a weird name, so I didn't even write it down. But for years and years and years, they would come and rob the people and steal from the people. And, you know, they never could get a handle on them and catch them and all. But when the Lord said this, I'm sure to the church there, all that kind of rung a bell, didn't it? You know, but there too in that church, he's saying, not knowing. And, it made me think of myself, how much I've had stolen from me by not knowing things. So knowledge is powerful, isn't it? You know, somebody say, well, Brother Dave, knowledge will puff you up. Worldly knowledge will. Knowledge of Christ will humble you.
Yes.
Knowledge of Christ.
That's super.
Christ will bring you where? Right over here.
Okay, repeat that again that you said, because that was super.
Worldly knowledge will puff you up, but the knowledge of Christ will humble you.
Woo.
You know, we went from power to knowledge. How many of y'all remember? The Bible says it's the Lord that gives you power to get wealth, right?
Yes.
You know, remember when I was a kid, we'd talk about, or you'd hear adults say of people, they have a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the 7th church there. Mm-hmm. how they was rich, plenty of money, no need of nothing. And what the Lord told them, you poor blind naked boy. And but they had a pocket full of money. So sometimes we may think as wealth as a pocket full of money, but maybe it's not. Maybe wealth is this right here. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, I wanted to, Lord showed me this the other day too, that there's a story in the Bible that it impressed me. Talking about knowledge and what knowledge can bring a person. But you remember Isaiah 53 starts out, you know, Isaiah 53 is sure enough the Cadillac of it all. But it starts out, it says, who's believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Okay, this is talking about Jesus growing up as a root or out of a root, a tender plant out of a root. And a tender plant out of a root is called a shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now follow me. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I will start at 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Say, Jesus was brought up where? In Nazareth. You know what the definition of Nazareth is? A shoot. That's what Nazareth means, a shoot.
Wow.
He was brought up out there. And it was his custom, he went in the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, this is Sabbath right here, center, Spirit of the Lord, seven. On the seventh day, remember Sunday's first day of the week, Sabbath would be seventh of the week, and stood up to read from Isaiah. And there was delivered him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay. He stood up, said this in his own hometown. And what they say about Nazareth, he couldn't there do no mighty works. They rejected him. That's old homeboy. He's grown up here. He don't know nothing. He was just a little knot-headed boy. You know, things like that, because they knew it. Okay, let's go to... Now here's,
can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
He said, and he stood up to read, and they gave him. They usually give you what they want you to read. But he found himself in the scripture. He didn't allow them to give him what to read. He found himself in the scripture and released it.
Amen. Amen. He knew who he was, didn't he?
Amen. He knew who he was.
Let's go to Luke, the 18th chapter. And there's a story. We're talking about knowledge here. What knowledge will bring you. In verse 35, there's a story of a blind man. It says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing, faith comes by hearing, don't it? And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And the multitude passed by, and he asked, What's this? You know, everybody's making commotion. The blind man, what's this? What's happening? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth, or the Savior of the sheep, or anyway, you know, Nazareth, he comes from sheep. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, why would he cry out that? Remember how Matthew starts out? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, the Son of David,
yep,
the Son of Abraham. You know, this old boy, he'd probably been, you know, they say blind people that their senses, yeah, you know, if you missing in one and increases in the other. Uh-huh. So he was probably a pretty good hearer. And his old time listening to him talking about, you know, reading Isaiah, you know, because folks would go around a temple and beg, mm-hmm, for money, wouldn't they?
Yep.
You know, that's what, you know, that's their way of survival. Blind people, they beg for money. So he is probably hearing this stuff read throughout the years, you know, of Isaiah. And he's, you know, he got to putting all this stuff together in his mind. Remember, we just Isaiah 53,
yep,
where Jesse, you know, and David was Jesse's son, and mm-hmm, they would have called Jesse father too, Son of David. But anyway, he's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Brother Monty teaching us that word, mercy in the Old Testament, is the same as grace in the New Testament. Kesed, remember him teaching us that word, Kesed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he, Son of David, have mercy on me. Or we could interpret it, Lord Jesus Christ, have grace on me.
Yeah.
All right, same. More or less he's saying the same. Okay, let's keep reading. Lord Jesus Christ, have grace on me. And they which went before him rebuked him and, you know, said, shut up, hold your peace. But he cried much more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what wilt thou that I should do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now check this out. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has what?
Made you whole.
Thy faith has saved you.
Saved you.
Yeah, yeah. It saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who shall save, shall call the name of the Lord, shall be. He was asking, you know, we said he was asking the Lord Jesus Christ for grace.
Yep.
Grace. Okay. You know, it says by grace are we saved?
Mm-hmm.
Not of yourself.
Yep.
And check out. And immediately he received his sight. He got his sight too, but he was saved also.
Yep.
And he followed him.
Yeah.
You know, when you get saved, you follow him. And he glorified God and all the people when they saw it, they had praise unto God. Okay. We're going to learn a little bit from Hebrew now. Remember our old Hebrew sheet?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all dig this out if you guys. We, you know, last time, Sister Barry, we remember the numeric value, we told you that went along with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 22 letters in Hebrew, and there's a numeric value. The last one ends in 400. I won't go over all that again. But let's look at the word grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of y'all over here, the Lord just showed me this other day. When we say grace, what do we think of?
Saying a blessing.
Yeah.
When you say grace.
But you know, the definition per se for
the
grace.
The unmerited favor, that's the
common. The unmerited favor of God. That's our English definition for grace. The unmerited favor of God. Hebrew, you know, I wish I knew this stuff, but we're gonna look at this. The Hebrew word for grace is, it reads from, it's like Chinese, it goes that way to that way.
Is it on here, David?
Okay, start with the eighth one. Go down, see that lead named Chet?
Yes.
Okay, and it looks like a ladder over in the early. Go to your far left. It looks like a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's the eighth letter. You know, eight in the Bible is a new beginning. A new beginning. Okay? and go down to your 14th letter, and it is a 9, and it's 14. And remember, last time we met together, we was talking about the seed, and it has a picture of a seed. That's a picture of a seed. And we said that seed in the Bible is Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
This picture of the seed is Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we said with this 14th letter, it has a numeric value of 50. So we have a new beginning through the seed with the number 50, which 50 represents what? Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a new beginning through the seed for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, all right. Let's look at the definite. All right, the 8th was a. It says a tent wall, a tent wall.
Yes.
Okay, in Israel, remember how the Lord would commanded them to go pitch tent. This means to go pitch tent, a tent wall. Go pitch tent, and in Israel, they would remember if you ever watched Joseph Prince in him, they would pitch their tent like that, in that form. And this camp, he said, pitch tent in a camp, and this camp is a place of protection. When you was in the camp, you had protection.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a picture of the cross through a tent wall.
Is that where the tribes were?
Yeah, all the tribes.
In the center was the tent, was the...
Yeah, and all that. And this really would be, I made this the longest, this would have been the east, because this was tribe Judah, that is the largest tribe, so this is east, that's west, I guess that's north and south. Anyway, but that's what it would look like from aerial shot.
Okay.
You know, when you looked at pitching a tent, Lord told me, you go pitch a tent, that's what it looked like. Okay, we're talking about grace, the definition of grace, and what is grace? Lord, he's going to paint us a picture here, and the 14th letter is a seed. Okay, let me 514 here. Okay, and what's it say, the meaning of it? It means to continue, an heir, and a son. You know, through the seed, Bible says he'd see his seed there,
mm-hmm.
but a son. So let's paint a picture of the son. On the cross. That's grace.
Amen.
The cross.
By grace are you saved.
Uh-huh. By the cross.
Right.
Jesus.
Don't that Hebrew give you a whole different, mm-hmm. you know, perspective of grace?
Mm-hmm.
And Colossians tells us, you know, when we sing psalms and hymns and all, let that grace be in your hearts. You know, when we sing psalms of him, doing his work on the cross, doing what he did, you know. It wasn't cheap, is it? Grace ain't cheap.
No.
You know, and that's why.
The whole life.
Yes. That's why Paul, you know, he give his warning. He says that any man kind of cuts on grace or puts down grace, let what? Double curse come upon him.
Mm-hmm.
Paul knowed that grace, didn't he? He knows what the grace of, you know, but that's a picture of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Bible, we talked about grace and peace multiplying
mm-hmm.
through the knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm.
We have, what does the Bible say? We have peace through the cross
mm-hmm.
and peace by the blood that flowed down the side.
Yep.
I mean, how much clearer picture You know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words. It's worth a lot, ain't it?
So we can even go deeper in that and say grace is a person.
That's right.
What Joseph Fritz says, remember? Yeah. They say grace is a person, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm through. Come on, Brother Thurston.
God be the glory. Amen. Come on, Apostle, release it. You know you got it. You're going to release it. And blow your trumpet.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
I love that part. How to fear the Lord to knowledge. Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit speak, He always come to. You know, when we first met the Holy Spirit, He was moving upon the face of the deep.
Yes.
And the Word never said He stopped moving.
That's right.
Jesus. He's been moving.
Amen.
I love that song. I love that song we sing on that Angie be singing. He never stops working. He always working. He's always in motion.
He's still moving then. All right.
And I had to learn that about the Lord. He's always in motion. And the Lord would give me revelation, and I long for people to receive it. He kind of messed me up. He showed me in the days that He sent me to churches, you know, years ago in the early 90s.
Jesus.
He would give me a word at home to give to a pastor that I never met most of the time, or many times. Sometimes I knew him, sometimes I never met him before. And I go to church. He's preaching what I wrote at home.
Amen.
But he would, in the word, either in the word itself, he was encouraging the pastor to follow him. Like just like Jesus followed the Father. That's what the Lord wanted to bring back. Not how man followed, but how Jesus followed the Father. God wanted His people to follow Him.
He said, I do nothing unless I hear the Father.
Yeah. And he said that without me, you can do nothing.
Mm.
So the revelation to me was the comparison, if they follow God and if they don't. Now, my young Pentecostal mind, I couldn't wait to give them this word because I just knew that they was going to do this. All right, so when things didn't go like I saw what would happen if they follow and what would happen if they don't, I wanted this. It was going to bless everybody. It was going to bless him, the whole church, everything. So revelation, you have to receive it and then measure it big for it to work in your life. So
that's good. Repeat that and measure it how?
Big. You have to measure it big.
Woo!
That's your part. God don't make you measure it big. Mm-hmm. We, you know, He set us up to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. And everybody that want it gonna come get it.
And He said bear much fruit.
Yeah.
Then is the Father glorified. Not just
right.
A little bit.
Yeah. Something. He wants us to measure it big. I was measuring it big because of things that God, that the Lord did in my life. As I drew near to Him, He taught me stuff. So I thought that they already hearing from God. So I thought this is going to work. But when it didn't work like I thought, I saw what, you know, I felt useless. Over the years of people not following God to His specifications, I felt useless. I said, Lord, what's the point? In 98, I was baptized. I said, why should I do this anymore? I don't.
Okay, Jeremiah.
I feel like Jonah. And now I still had a relationship with the Lord. I love God. I even got a low point going. I had quit studying like I used to. I was so discouraged. And Elder May said, you gotta get in the Word. He's kept saying that for about a month. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to get in the Word. I started again. And I never went back to that because what I didn't know is God is always moving.
Amen.
When people are not working, God is. He had a super plan anyway. So people receive revelation. It's based on how they see things.
Repeat that again.
People receive revelation. It's based on how they see things.
Okay, say it again.
It's based on how they see things. And this is why I say the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You got to break through culture when it comes to receiving new vision. Culture don't want you to have it. Just like Daniel was, he wanted the answer to that dream that he had. And he was determined. He had planned not to ever eat anything tasted until he knew that revelation.